For coming to sing to us. We're turning, please, to Acts 16. The book of Acts gives you the history of the early church. We're at chapter 16. You remember 2 weeks ago we talked about earthquakes morning and evening. And last Sunday night we thought of a particular earthquake in chapter 16 when the Philippian jailer, as he's known, came to the Saviour. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Dramatic testimony. You see, Acts 16 gives you the story of how Paul came to the city of Philippi, the first European city in which he preached. First European church was formed there. And we're going to read about another conversion here in Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Last week we were thinking of the earthquake. Remember in Haiti, 4,000 prisoners escaped from a prison when the door was opened through that earthquake. And in Acts 16, there was an earthquake that opened the door in the prison there. Isn't it strange? Truth stranger than fiction. Maybe when you read about Haiti and the doors of the prison opening, you said, that couldn't be. Well, it was. And in Acts 16, the doors of the prison opened with an earthquake. How amazing. Well, we're going to go earlier in the chapter, and verse 6 of Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And then go down, please, to the last verse in the chapter. This is after Paul. We're going back on ourselves here. Last week it was Paul in prison, how he was released. And in verse 40, after the imprisonment and so on, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And we know the Lord shall bless this reading of his own infallible word for his own glory. Again, we welcome you all to the service tonight, and those visiting with us, we give you a warm welcome now. Today, the Missionary Council retiring offering Do you remember that? That's the baskets at the door. 7:45 is an after-church rally in Cumber for young people. Reverend Ralph Hall is speaking there. Tuesday night is the children's meeting, 6:45, and then the youth fellowship at 8. Wednesday night, the prayer meeting. Now, we're still in this study on the Apostles' Creed. Now, we don't take the Apostles' Creed in any superstitious way. The saying of it is not magical, anything of God at all, of course not. But yet, it is annexed to the Westminster Confession as a good statement of important doctrines. There are many other doctrines important, but it does set forth important doctrines of the faith. This will be our fourth study, and if you're interested in some of the notes, there's some on the little table as you're going out, and a cover. And this week we're going to look at the word Almighty. What do we mean that God is Almighty? I believe in God. We looked at that. God the Father, we looked at what it means that God is our Father. And then this coming Wednesday, what does it mean that God is Almighty? And we'll look at places in Scripture, what the Old Testament term for Almighty means, what the New Testament term, when you read Almighty, what does that mean in the original Greek language? What exactly is it? There's wonderful, wonderful teaching on that great term. We believe in an Almighty God. And then we'll get down to prayer, of course, that's Wednesday night. Join with us if you'd like. On the Wednesday evening, we'll be glad to see you. 8 o'clock in the prayer room, as I say, notes are there for you. Then on Friday night, the presbytery will be held in Cumber. Didn't have a presbytery in January. Last December was the last one. And what happens most months is churches are examined by the presbytery. The ministers ask questions, the session, the committee, about numbers attending, income, and also other questions about the church. And so it's our turn. Newton Ards and Donica D are going to be examined, but it will be held in Cumber. And some of the ladies, you've been asked there already about helping with sandwiches and so on. And if you do have any questions, Irene's here tonight, they're seer, but I think the list is, I think most things are provided. So the ladies will be providing tea for the men. There's usually about 160 to 100 men gather from our various congregations. And so that'll take place this Friday. That's for your information. Next Sunday, 11:30 and 7, preceded by prayer. Communion service in the morning. Please remember that. Last week's offerings, £1,484.70. Now, the church dinner, we trust you're able to attend. Now, invite others to it. It's open to anybody to come along. And we'd love to see you and enjoy fellowship with you. I know some are away that weekend, and we're sad you're not able to be with us, but we understand arrangements made. But those who are able to come, it's on the Friday night, the 12th of February. It'll be held in the Cumber Hall, and caterers will come in, and the Reverend Marcus and Mrs. Cherith Leckie, they'll be along to sing for us and to lead us in singing. There's some other items as well taking place. That's the 12th. And get your name in the list, prices, etc., spaces for your name, menu, and so on. It's there in the porch, just on the main table as you go out the door. You could see about that. Now, if anyone does wish to give any gifts towards Haiti, as I said this morning, the church committee will set aside any gifts that are given, marked in an envelope for Haiti, and as opportunity comes to send it to a good cause where we know where it will be used well, then we will forward that money. We're still seeking to find the best way to get the gifts out to that land, but we do assure you as a church committee the money will be kept strictly for aid in Haiti, and we will let you know as the time goes on. As you can realise from the news items, there's a lot of confusion in the country at the minute, and governments are there, military, etc., etc. But there will be occasion in the future for help to be given to that believers in that land. We know in the coming months there will be great need, so we'll just announce that to you. Let's turn in our hymn book, please, as we worship the Lord with our offering. We're turning, please, to the hymn number 307. Let me remind you, there are leaflets here if you're wondering what they are. They're leaflets for Mount Merion. They're having a week of meetings in a couple of weeks. Different speakers during the week, John Greer, myself, Alan Kearns. And on the Sunday, with a special meeting at 8:30 on the Sunday, there's a Dr. Joel Beakey. He's from a church called the Netherlands Reformed, Grand Rapids, USA. I've read some of his books. I've heard him on sermon audio. And he is a man who's been greatly used of the Lord. And he'll be there on their Sunday night. But it's the same, they'll have 6 there starting and will be there at 8:30. But those leaflets are there and you can get a copy of those, please. 307, it tells us of the mysterious working of God in salvation. 307, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known. Keep our seats as we sing, please. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why unworthy as I am, but I know. Persuaded that he is able, which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Ladies in verse 3, ladies only. I know. Everyone. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Men in verse 4, I know. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's all stand. Verse 5, you're singing well. I know not when my Lord may come, I know not how nor where, if I shall pass the veil of death or meet him in the air. But I know I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which
committed unto him against that day.
Amen. Brother Kenny will come and sing again, please.
In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, we have the verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And I was wondering whether this was the right piece to sing tonight or not. And then in every reading it says where God opened Lydia's heart. I wonder, is your heart open tonight to the Lord Jesus?
brother, for coming to sing to us. Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at this lady Lydia, the first convert in the church at Philippi. There's a book in your Bible called Philippians, where 16 or so years later Paul wrote to this young congregation. So with our Bibles open, let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we pray tonight as we look at this story, that indeed we would be conscious of the nail-pierced hand of our Saviour knocking at each one of our doors. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast power even to come and to open the doors of our life. And, O Lord, tonight we pray for the power of the gospel to be manifested among us. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. In Luke 16, you have three testimonies. We all love to hear people's stories, especially of how they came to know the Lord as their Saviour. And there are three stories in this chapter. One about a lady, one about a young girl, and one about a man. Do you remember the man? We talked about him last week. He had a tough heart, we could say, a hardened jailer. And then there was the demonic girl, and we could say she had a tormented mind and heart. And now we're going to hear about a lady who was a tender lady, obviously was concerned about spiritual matters. And of course, these three formed the beginning of the congregation at Philippi, the first European church. The first European church. There have been many thousands, probably tens of thousands since then. Each one with its own story. Each one with men, women and young people who are trophies of God's grace, saved by the mysterious working of the Holy Spirit. Now, they came to Christ in different ways. Three of them all came to Christ, but they came in different ways. The girl, it was through a dramatic confrontation where Paul turned and rebuked the evil spirit. Public confrontation. And she came to Christ. The jailer, that was a dramatic conversion. There was a crisis. There was an earthquake hit the jail and the doors were opened. And he was ready to commit suicide. Now, this lady was different, for it was just through a quiet conversation. Just a quiet conversation. Nothing dramatic. No great earthquake. No great crisis. No great confrontation. We're going to see that it was just through a quiet conversation. Because you see here in verse 14... a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto things which were spoken of Paul. And by the way, the word heard and the word spoken would tell you in the original of this, he was not preaching as I'm doing now. Now, many times Paul did preach. Of course he did. But it has the connotation of simply sitting talking. Now, the message when he talked was the same as when he formally addressed a crowd. Of course it was. But he simply talked to some ladies. And as he talked to these ladies down by the riverside, he sat down and talked to them. The Lord opened this lady's heart. How was she converted? Well, you'd answer, well, she trusted Christ. She believed in the gospel. She believed in Christ freely offered in the gospel. That's right. But how did she come to believe? You see, I read in my Bible in the book of Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. She was converted because our God is the God that opens doors. You see, 16 years later, Paul wrote to this congregation in chapter 1 and verse 6 of his book. And you know what he said? Being confident of this very thing, that he, that's God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he reminds these converts, it was God that commenced the work of salvation. And it's God that's continuing it. He's keeping you. And it's God will complete the work when he presents you in heaven. Salvation is of the Lord. And that comes out clearly in this story, especially in that lovely expression in the verse 14. whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. You know what that teaches me? The truth of what we were just singing during the offering. I know not how the Spirit works, convincing men of sin. How he moves, I don't know. Yes, the gospel is the simple message that Christ died, was buried, rose again, and we preach that message, believe, just as Paul said to the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. But yet, there's a mystery in how the Spirit brings a person to the place of belief. It's the work of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, whose heart the Lord opened. I see God's salvation here, his work, in three ways. First of all, God is sovereign. That's what we're underlining tonight in salvation. Oh yes, we believe in the general call of the gospel, whosoever will. Of course we do. But we also emphasize a truth here. God is sovereign. God is sovereign in the way he sends the gospel. In how he sends the gospel. How was it that Lydia, out of all the people in that large city, heard the gospel? How did Paul come to preach the gospel in Philippi in the first place? How did Lydia get there? You see, verse 14 says she was from Thyatira, a city 400 to 500 miles away. Now, travel wasn't as easy as it was today. How did she end up in Philippi? Well, the answer is, of course, but God brought her there. But how did he bring her there? Well, you're told an answer here, because it's God who sends the gospel. God sends it. Now, let me just say, before we look at how Lydia actually got there, God sends the gospel. There's a mystery. Why is it some countries seem to hear the gospel more than others? Why is it the gospel was brought to you? Why is it this land is so blessed with gospel preaching and other parts of the world has little gospel preaching? Why, in the early verses, when Paul, his intention, his purpose was to say Asia needs the gospel, we're going to go to Asia. God said no. No. You're not to go to Asia. Now, Paul didn't sit down and say, oh, well, I'll not go. I'll go to Mysia. They need the gospel. There's people in Mysia and Bithynia, and they need to hear the gospel. You know what God said, Paul? No. No. The stops as well as the starts and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, why did God say to Paul, no? The people in Asia needed the gospel. The people in Mysia needed the gospel. But yet God said, no. Because he's sovereign in how he sends the gospel. He is sovereign in how he sends the gospel. Now, it is our duty to preach to every creature. It's the duty of this church to have a worldwide vision. It's the duty of every Christian to spread the gospel to everyone we meet. Yes, we're to tell all about the gospel. But I'm saying that God is sovereign in how he sends the gospel. And we cannot read the mysterious mind of God. It's a mystery to us. How God sends the gospel in his sovereignty to certain people and certain places. Now, Lydia, how did she end up there? Well, you read in verse 14 that she was a seller of purple. We read that she was from Thyatira. And that's interesting, because Thyatira is mentioned over in Revelation, one of the seven churches. You can read in history that they were very famous in that town for making a purple dye. You say, well, so what? But a purple dye in those days was very, very expensive. For 1 gram of the purple dye needed 8,000 special shellfish or mollusks. 8,000 little shellfish had to die to give the dye, using the word in two ways. They had to give their life. They were killed to produce 1 wee drop of purple dye in each shellfish. And it was a very, very expensive dye. And Thyatira was famous throughout the Roman world. It was only in the last centuries that people were able to come up with new inventions to have dyes. Very, very expensive. Only the rich and the wealthy. And so evidently she had moved from Thyatira to sell this very expensive cloth. So we find out she was a working woman. So, ladies, it's not just today when women are enterprising and have their own businesses. She had a business back then. So, by the way, so did the godly woman in Proverbs 31. She went out and had a business and bought land and so on. But that's not her purpose tonight. It's interesting, all that. She had her own business. She was a working woman. She was a wealthy woman. Ah, but she was also a worshipping woman. It says in the verse, worship God. Now, that's a little technical expression. You'll read in the book of Acts of Gentiles, and they're called God worshippers. Here's what it means. Of course, we're all to worship God. But what it means, Gentiles who were sick of paganism, who were sick of idolatry, and they were attracted to the Jewish faith. They were attracted to the teaching of the God revealed in the Old Testament. They had become interested in Judaism because it spoke about one God. So evidently this lady, when she lived in Thyatira, was sick of the paganism. And she was attracted to the teaching of God. Now she was worshipping, but she wasn't yet saved. She was religious, but as yet she didn't have a relationship with the Lord. She was a businesswoman of great acumen. Most likely a moral, upright, respectable, religious, would say a lovely lady. But she didn't know the Lord yet. She didn't know the Lord, that's the point. She's still not saved. Because it's possible to be religious and a good person, humanly speaking, and not know the Lord. Now, Lydia got there with her work. She went there to sell in her business. How did Paul get there? Well, Paul didn't intend to go there. He wanted to go to Asia, but the Lord said, no, I don't want you there. Well, then I'll go over to Mysia and preach the gospel. No, you're not going there either. Then he wondered, where am I to go? And that night he had a vision. Now, that was unusual in Paul's life. I want you to note that. I've heard in missionary meetings people saying you should never go and speak to anybody with the gospel until you get the Macedonian call. And of course, that was nonsense. It was a real call, the Macedonian call. But remember, that was not Paul's usual way. Paul just went as doors opened. But this was a special event of bringing the gospel into Europe, and God did give him special direction. So whether it's a special direction by a vision or just seeking to obey as doors open, the Lord's still in control. But God gave this vision so that we get into Europe. Let me stop there and say, Christian, are you here by God's providence? What I mean is, in this church, are you conscious that God has brought you in his providence to this congregation so that you would work in and through this congregation to his glory? Are you? Paul was conscious that he was in Philippi on the Lord's service. Well, he arrives. Well, how does he meet this lady? You see, it's God that sends the gospel. God in his sovereignty sends the gospel. That's the first point. God is sovereign in how he sends the gospel. Paul, as his custom was, would go to a synagogue to fellow Jews because they were fellow countrymen. He could speak to them. But there mustn't have been a synagogue to go to. You say, how do you know that? Because he went to the riverside. You see, in Judaism, if there weren't 10 men, you needed 10 men to form a synagogue, Jews would meet at the riverbank to worship God. Remember, they did that in Babylon when they were exiles. They met beside running water because when they prayed, they would have ritual washings before they prayed. And so there mustn't have been a synagogue. So where does he go? It's the Sabbath day. He probably said to his friends, let's go and see if there are any Jews in this town. Because we're Jews. Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, of course. And they went down, and there was a group of women. And it says here, he just spoke to them. Now, we know what Paul must have spoken. It's not recorded, but of course we know what he spoke because we have many records. He would have told these ladies, listen, you've been reading the Old Testament prophecy that one would come, Psalm 22, who would die, Isaiah 53, be wounded for our transgressions. Didn't God promise that he would send a Redeemer? Didn't God promise he would send a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of David, to be the king of Israel forever? He's come. He's Jesus of Nazareth. And he died on a tree. They would have wondered, what? If he's king, how did he die? But listen, It was all in God's plan that he died. For by dying he defeated sin and Satan. And he rose for the third day. And now he's Lord in heaven. And if you'll believe in him, you'll have your sins forgiven. Of course that's what he preached. And probably more. That's the gist of it. I wonder, did he give his own testimony of how he had been a religious, devout Pharisee, but yet didn't really know the Lord? Again, he gave his testimony often. 3 times in the book of Acts. I think he probably did. Now, of course, Acts 16 doesn't tell us. But I imagine he must have told his testimony and said, you know, ladies, I was a very religious person. No time for Christ. I was seeking with my religion, thinking that would get me into heaven. But one day I met Christ. And I saw that all my righteousness couldn't get me into heaven. These ladies heard the gospel. You heard the gospel. Many times have you heard it? 5,000? More? Just a few times? Well, thank God in his providence, God sends the gospel. And here's a tremendous thing. Makes me excited tonight. Give the privilege of being a preacher. And you ought to be excited being in this meeting tonight. Do you know why? Because God is sending his gospel tonight. The sovereign God is sending his gospel message to this meeting. What a privilege we have. Why? Why us? So many out even in Newton Ards have no interest in the things of God at all. Why us? God's sovereign in how he sends the gospel. God's sovereign in how he opens doors. How he opens hearts. It says here, the Lord opened her heart. And as Lydia listened to this message, the Lord opened her heart to believe the message. Now, what does it mean, heart? It doesn't believe this organ that's pumping the blood. Of course it doesn't. It's used as an illustration. What it means is the real you. It means your mind, your desires, your will. That's what it means in the book of Genesis when it says we were created in the image of God. It's not talking about our body shape, for God is a spirit. When we are made in the image of God, it means we're different than animals. Oh yes, we live in the same world, so therefore we have blood and we have bones and so on as animals do, but we are different because you have a mind to think and you have a desire to have emotions and a will. But what happened when Adam sinned? Our mind was darkened. Our desires were not towards God as Adam and Eve were. They're away from God. Our will is not running and longing and desiring to do God's law. That's why we need those things changed. We need a new mind. We need our mind to be opened. You see, this lady had some knowledge of God, had some knowledge of the true religion, but her mind was still closed, her heart was still closed, and with all her intelligence and respectability, religiosity, her heart was still closed. I wonder tonight, is there someone here, moral, church attender, maybe moved by the singing, shed a tear when you think of the teaching of Scripture, but your heart is still closed. Still closed. The Lord opened her heart. See, when you think of these three people, you know what some people would think? Well, I can understand how that girl, troubled with demons, she needed her heart opened. You see that old, rough, tough jailer? My, he needs his heart opened. But that dear, lovely, respectable, religious lady? Her? Yes. She too needed the Lord to open her heart. Because all of us need the Lord's work of salvation. We need to learn the lesson. Nobody can convert themselves. We can't save ourselves. She couldn't open her own heart. Paul couldn't open her heart. Wasn't even Paul's preaching. Now she needed to hear the preaching, for God works through the word of God. Don't misunderstand me, but it's the Lord that does it. Paul later in the book of Ephesians said a very strange thing when he wrote to that church. He said this, reminding them. He said, Christ came and preached peace unto you. Now when Paul went to speak in Ephesus,
Did the Lord Jesus Christ literally, physically go to Ephesus and preach? Of course he didn't. He never preached outside Israel. Well, what does the Bible mean when Paul wrote and said Christ came and preached peace? What Paul meant was this. When I and my missionary team came with me and we preached the gospel to you people, do you know what happened? It wasn't just us. We were the mouthpiece. It was the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ who preached to your heart. He preached. I know not how the Spirit moves. In salvation, it's not the word of a preacher. Oh yes, the words of the preacher are used, or the words of a friend talking to you, or maybe the words of a tract. But in salvation, it is the Lord. He is God of evangelism. He uses individuals, but it's God. He comes with the key, and he opens the heart. Now, of course, don't misunderstand and think she had no responsibility. Of course she had. She made her way to where prayer was wont to be made on the Lord's Day. What a commendable thing. You see, that was a pagan city. There's only a small handful who give any respect to the Sabbath day. There was only a very, very tiny group of people in that large city, a few women, who took the time to come to pray and to get by that riverside. And notice, she attended in verse 14 onto the things spoken of Paul. She attended, isn't that wonderful? She attended onto the things. She listened. That means she evaluated it. As Paul began to just simply talk in a conversation of the gospel, she was listening. And she was thinking. She was really giving her mind to it. Her attention. Many times when you're young, does the teacher say to you, pay attention. Or maybe your mom, pay attention. She was attending. I love the story, by the way. I can't help but tell it, of the two psychiatrists. And they met at their 25th reunion, of college reunion. Both of them went into psychiatry. And my, the two friends met after 25 years of being psychiatrists. And one was just, you know, worn out. And the wrinkles and the worry and the... And the other one, my, he was same age, but my, he looked 10 years younger, fresh and vibrant. And the one looked older and said, how have you kept so fresh and all during these 25 years? You know, when I listened to all those people's problems day after day after day, and I listened to all these problems, I get so tired and weary. And oh, how are you so fresh when you're listening to people's problems? The other man said, who listens? Who listens? And there's a lot of people can hear with the ear, but they're not listening. But this lady, she's listening. She wants to hear every word. You see, she has a responsibility. But I'm saying, it says there, the Lord opened her heart. God is sovereign in salvation. Salvation's of the Lord because he sends the gospel. He opens the heart. Third and last, he causes the response. He causes the response. Years later, it's interesting when you read Philippians along with this chapter, because he's writing to the same people years later. Paul said this in Philippians 2:13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I'm sure Lydia sat there and said, that's right. Oh, I remember the day at that riverside when God began to work in my heart. God did it. God did it. Paul, you're right. God began to work in my heart both to will and to do. You see, she believed. In verse 15, you've got that. Because it says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Now, that word if can be also translated since. You've judged me to be faithful. Literally, it is, if you judge me to be a believer. She's saying, Paul, I'm a believer now too. I believe in Christ. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. She realized she couldn't save herself. She realized she needed Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she simply believed and trusted him. Then she was baptized. That was a sign of the covenant. That was a sign publicly in those days that I'm identifying myself with those who believe in Christ. It was a public, open declaration that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life, that He is the Messiah, that I'm His. But look at the response, not only as she believed, she's baptized, look at her behavior. She asked them to come to her household. Now, she must have been a rich lady to bring four men into her household. She must have had servants. We're not told anything of a husband here, but she had a lot of servants, a household, that's what it means. And she was able to put up four men. But she invited them into her house. That shows she was interested in the gospel. Now, it's God that causes the response. Salvation is of the Lord. For you think of this very carefully. Lydia was the first European convert. We're in the western shore of Europe. Remember, it says in verse 14, she came from Thyatira. That's part of Turkey today. Do you know where Thyatira was designated in geography in those days? Asia. Isn't that amazing? Do you remember I read earlier in the chapter, Paul purposed to go in to Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, no. Now later on, Paul did go to Asia, by the way, and start churches. But that wasn't God's time at that moment. And who was his first convert in Europe? An Asian lady. Isn't that amazing? God brought a lady from Asia to Europe, to Philippi, hundreds of miles. And he brought Paul almost 300 miles to meet there. Can you not see God's sovereignty in her salvation? How God works sovereignly in people's lives. And then, of course, you think of down at the riverside. It says here that which worship God, she attended a certain woman. Sorry, speak on to the women, verse 13. We sat down, so he's just sitting down talking, and spake unto the women which were resorted thither. You know, you're not told any of the others believed. Knowing Paul from the Word of God, he would have talked with equal passion and sincerity and pleading to those other ladies as he did to Lydia. He would have pleaded with them to turn to Christ. Now, we're not told if any of them later did come, but in verse 14 we're told Lydia believed. Lydia believed. I'm saying God is sovereign. How solemn is the matter of God's sovereignty? Some of you have heard me tell before, my late mother, 14 years of age, not brought up in a Christian home. And Bangor for the day with her friends at 14 years of age, travelled from Belfast on the train, was walking down Bangor front and there was an open air and she stopped. And her friends said to her, come on, May. But she said, no. And she was strangely constrained to listen to that open air. And at the end she went forward to one of the men and said, I need to trust Christ. And he talked with her and prayed with her. Sadly, he didn't follow it up, but my mum believed that's when she came to know Christ. But she went back to Sandy Road. She used to tell us she walked round the streets looking for an open air. Some years later, she came across believers who taught her and instructed her. Why? Why did she stop? Why Lydia? Why you in that gospel mission? Some of you have been saved for a long time. Why were you drawn to that gospel mission when some of your friends and relatives wouldn't go? Why is it that night when the gospel was preached? Why is it you were strangely led to trust Christ and yet some of your friends had no interest? Why?
I can't explain it. I can't explain it except to say it's God that sends the gospel. And it's God that opens heart. And it's God that causes the response. You see, God opened the door to Paul to go to Philippi where Lydia was. And God opened the door of opportunity for him to speak to her. And God opened her heart to believe. You see, I don't believe for one moment if you were to meet Lydia
And you were at a church meeting in Philippi. And she was asked to give her testimony. I don't believe for one second that Lydia would have stood up and said, you know, I'm really lucky that Paul came along that day to speak to us. I'm sure she wouldn't have said, well, you know, didn't I make an intelligent decision that day? And I'm sure she wouldn't say, oh, I'm so glad I had such great faith to make that decision that day. I believe if you had asked Lydia, Lydia, what do you want to tell us of how you believe in Christ? She would say, listen, the Lord did it all. It's all of His grace. I'm saved because God in His sovereign grace set His love upon me. And He brought Paul to right where I was. And in His sovereign grace He called me. And what did He do? He opened my heart to believe. It's all of God. It's all of God. Salvation is of the Lord, she would have said. C.H. Spurgeon used to quote when he's preaching, it's in his sermons, a little hymn. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room? Why thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly drew me in. Else I had still refused to come and perished in my sin. Thank God for His drawing grace. You see, Paul said in the book of Corinthians, my time's gone here, I'd have to finish just quickly, but Paul did say in Corinthians, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're just preachers. It's God that gives the increase. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, if you know not Christ, and He's speaking to you tonight, you need to come to Him. The story of Lydia is to encourage you tonight if you don't know Christ. Because if God could open Lydia's heart, He can open your heart. If God worked in such a mysterious, sovereign way to bring Lydia, then God can bring you. And God in His providence has brought you here tonight to once again have a glorious opportunity to hear the gospel. What is your responsibility? What Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's our message tonight. Believe. Believe in Him. That's your responsibility now. Believe on Him. Let's turn and we'll just sing one verse because time has gone tonight, and we'll just sing the first verse and chorus of 252. 252. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See in the portals, He's watching and waiting, waiting, watching for you and for me. And as He calls tonight, simply come. Come and He will give you rest. 252, just the first verse and chorus, please. Let's stand.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you.
brought the gospel to Lydia. How good God, in his grace, has brought it to us again tonight. How privileged a people we are. But oh, if you've never personally trusted Christ, do not have that assurance that he's your Saviour. You can pray now, Lord, what you did for Lydia, do for me. Lord, open my heart right now. Open my heart. Come in. Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to come in and bend my will to yours. Give me those desires to love you and to serve you. Lord, I turn to you. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the invitation of the gospel. We thank you, salvation is a real thing. It's for the down and out, like the jailer, but Lord, it's for respectable religious people too, that we all need to know Christ. Lord, tonight, we thank thee for the gospel. We pray that every one of us may know what it is to know the Lord. Separate us now with thy fear and thy blessing, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Tell him, do you really believe he's God? Oh, no. He's a good man. But he's not God. And we say, no. He is God. He's God the Son. And he's just as much. Well, if you